It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones. Looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Well, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and I thank each of you for joining us today. You know, maybe you'll want to grab a cup of tea, maybe a bowl of homemade chicken wild rice soup.
Because it is the lunch hour.
It is. And tune up your radio and relax and listen, because we will have Anne Louise Gittleman, author and nutritionist, join us to share her expertise about menopause.
I'm excited.
Yes. And we have, that voice is Wendy Cates Dancer. She's another menopause expert, and she's our co-host today. Wendy is a registered nurse. She's a nutrition educator, a nutrition counselor. She sees clients in our White Bear office. She sees clients in our St. Paul office. And we see a lot of clients with some of these uncomfortable menopause symptoms.
Yes, you know? We do.
The inability to sleep seems to be a major concern for many people in menopause.
Oh, that's huge. It's absolutely huge. Well, this is one of my favorite topics, as you know, Dar. It really is. Along with sleep problems, women in perimenopause complain about weight gain.
Oh, yes, they do.
They haven't changed their eating, but their middle seems to be growing. They're often frustrated and stressed because everything they have tried is not working. And then, of course, when you don't get enough sleep, things get even more frustrating.
So it may surprise you, actually, that 65 to 75% of women gain weight during menopause.
Oh, that's a high percentage. Many of my clients complain about certainly the weight gain, but also hot flashes and low energy. And they complain about moods, irritability, lack of sleep. So it's a huge gamut of complaints that we have.
And of course, one that we have been hearing a lot of, a big concern for many women, is osteoporosis. You know, the women have seen their grandmothers bent over. You know, they've been in the nursing home with broken hip bones. And when their bone density test came back, it wasn't good. And they're a little concerned.
Exactly. And having been a nurse for all the years and working with a lot of the elderly people, that is a huge concern. One of the big and most painful things that that you deal with is the deterioration of the spine, because that is it's extremely painful for people.
And there's solutions. There's actually nutritional solutions.
Absolutely. And we need to start preventing things now.
Yes, exactly.
And then, also, you know, one of the things that people rarely talk about or don't have, it's a privacy thing, I think, is vaginal dryness and frequent urination.
So if we look at all these symptoms and problems at menopause, you know, we talked about weight gain, hot flashes, osteoporosis, vaginal dryness, sleep problems, mood swings, and they all have a nutritional connection.
Yes, they do. So what we want to do today, as we do every Saturday, is to connect the nutritional dots to the menopause symptoms.
And our guest, Anne Louise Gittleman, you know, she is a holistic nutritionist. She has a PhD in holistic nutrition. She is author of 30 books. She has appeared on The View, Dr. Phil, Good Morning America. She's been featured in the New York Times, Newsweek, Time Magazine. But most important to me, she is a personal mentor that, you know, she actually mentored me and she's helped me become a nutritionist that has, you know, a lot of good knowledge and some intuitive skills to really help people get well. You know, Anne Louise's guidance helped me take nutrition to a level that we need in order to feel great. So, Anne Louise, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, and thank you for being a great mentor to me. Anne Louise, are you on the line with us? Anne Louise?
Well, we hope she's there.
I'm here. Hello.
Hi, Anne Louise. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
I thought maybe I would have to fly right there, too. Where are you guys, in Minneapolis?
We're
right
in
now?
Minneapolis, and it would have been great if you would have done that.
Oh, well, I was all ready to after you didn't hear the first hello.
Oh, okay. It's cold here.
Well, it's cold here, and I'm in northern Idaho, and I send you greetings from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and menopausal greetings at that, because I think we're going to be dishing up some very good information that women can only appreciate once they've hit that perimenopausal stage of life, because wouldn't you agree, ladies, that your whole system becomes rewired? I mean, this is a change body, mind, and spirit.
Yes, I would agree. Definitely.
And so you have to accept that, number one, going in. Number two, know you're not going crazy. And number three, that there are nutritional answers in terms of eating well, living healthy, and even feeling sexy during the change.
So ooh!
Yeah,
well, then that's right.
I'm hoping we can share all of that and, you know, our personal experience, our knowledge, and what really works with real people.
Yeah, I love the getting to sexy, and your comment about you are not going crazy, because so many of the people that we see that come to our classes then come to see us, and are, you know, they're kind of treated like that when they go to see the doctor, and they get put on antidepressants and sleeping pills, and they do begin to feel like they are going crazy.
Oh, well, you know, I know from my own experience, and I write about it in a book called Before the Change. That's what I thought was happening to me, because, I mean, who knew that before menopause you actually have this introduction called perimenopause, where hormones start to fluctuate, and you start getting some of the most, I think, the most disastrous symptoms. I wasn't sleeping for weeks.
Uh-huh. So, Eloise, let's talk about that for just a minute.
Sure.
Because, you know, first of all, I want to mention your book, your on menopause. It's called Hot Times.
The one on menopause, yes, is called Hot Times, exactly.
That's a great title.
Thank you. well, we want to make it hot in many different ways. You know, we want you to look forward to it, and we want this to be a time of life that for many women really is like a second spring, because, you know, we're old enough to know who we are, we're comfortable, hopefully, in our own skin, and it's just that our body starts to play little tricks on us, so we have to be able to cope with it and just get through it, get over it in the best of health.
So let's talk about sleep a little bit here, because
oh, yeah.
That is, and as you said, when you
it's
were
huge.
In perimenopause, you were having some trouble sleeping, so...
Well, Dar, the strange thing, which really triggered me to write a book before Hot Times, which was known as Before the Change, and it still is known as Before the Change, mm-hmm. is that I thought that the classic symptom of perimenopause or menopause was really hot flashes or night sweats. And quite frankly, I didn't experience either.
Yes.
But what was going on with me was that I was under more stress. I was traveling to New York once every month, I think for a week out of every month. And by the time I got myself home again, which was in Montana at that time, I had to go back to New York. So things were starting to happen to me hormone-wise, traveling across different time zones. And lo and behold, my sleep, which used to be so sound, I mean, I could sleep through a hurricane, through a tornado, I started waking up every 3 hours on the hour, and by 3 or 4 in the morning, I mean, I was ready to go. So it got me very, very concerned, and then I did some research,
and that's
when I learned that this is a symptom of the change.
Yes,
right,
so one
exactly.
Of, you know, when we see clients coming into our office, one of the things that we
recommend
really...
for sleep is taking some magnesium glycinate. 400, 600 milligrams is usually sufficient.
And yeah, well, that's what I learned the hard way and write about as well. I couldn't agree with you more. What I learned is that if you can fall asleep easily, that's a sign that you've got pretty good calcium levels, but the constant waking up means that there's something off with magnesium. So taking it before you go to bed or keeping it near your bedside when you get up can be a blessing. It seems to somehow calm and tamp down that overactive mind. And I think it's also good because the glycinate form particularly is good for the bowel, so that if you suffer from a little irregularity, this is also going to make sure that your elimination is up to par. And I think that's important, too, as we get into this age and stage of life.
You know, one of the things, Ann Louise, we often talk about for on our show, Dishing Up Nutrition, we often talk about using magnesium glycinate. But I know when we were looking at your book and reading it a little bit more in detail, there was something about you help people balance their copper, zinc, and that helps to with sleep. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that's another really important, you know, issue. Everybody seems to focus when it comes to menopause on calcium and magnesium, right? Calcium
right.
for the bones, magnesium because it relaxes you
right.
and it's good for the heart. But what I learned, and I learned this because I do a lot of testing, is that there's another important mineral balance that almost seesaws back and forth. And that mineral balance is the copper-zinc balance. And if, in fact, you are stockpiling too much copper in your system...
And so, Ann Louise, why would that be?
Well, it's because of the adrenals. Don't get me started. It's because the adrenals are probably burnt out. It's because you may have fillings in your mouth where there is a copper component, especially since 1976, where they added a high copper component to the amalgams that many of us have.
So it's not just the mercury, they actually added copper.
Oh, yeah, which will make you even more hyperactive.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, copper, you know, you've heard that expression, mad as a hatter, because years ago they used to use a copper, I think it was like a copper-based glue or solvent when the hatters in England were making hats. And it's a real story to that. But in any event, I do testing on my people, and I traditionally find that their copper is elevated. And when you have an elevated copper, it means you're not absorbing it properly, or you're taking too many foods in your system, or too many environmental things are getting into your body from the copper fillings, maybe the copper IUDs, maybe the copper water pipes, maybe, just maybe, you're a vegetarian and you're eating foods that are high in copper and low in zinc, so it's throwing off the balance. But I see a lot of copper excess. To me, copper excess is almost like estrogen dominance.
Really?
So, Ann Louise, can you hold that just for a minute, because our producer is telling us that we've got to take a quick break. So hold on just for a minute, and we'll be back. And so you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and we're discussing the important role nutrition plays on the management of symptoms during perimenopause and menopause. For most women, eating a high-carbohydrate, high-sugar diet usually causes an increase in frequency and intensity of hot flashes. You know, if you reduce the sugar, you're going to reduce your hot flashes. So questions for Ann Louise today, 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Sugar, sugar. What is your favorite sweet indulgence? Brownies? Pastries? Cookies? Frappuccinos? Anything chocolate? We all enjoy a treat, but if you treat every day like Halloween, perhaps it's time to rein in that sweet tooth. Research shows that cravings have biochemical origins. That's right, they're not just sugar lust. The solution? Get to the source. Luckily, we don't have to do this alone. The friendly staff at Nutritional Weight and Wellness has worked with hundreds of people who wanted to break their sugar habits, eat healthier, and feel better. Sugar saps your energy, weakens your immune system, and is highly addictive. We have all seen how sugar affects children, but adults get hooked just as easily. Others rely on artificial sweeteners that are full of chemicals, believing those substitutes are healthier than sugar. Before you refill that candy dish, pick up the phone and find out how Nutritional Weight and Wellness can help you eliminate your sugar cravings. Imagine eating in a way that leaves you satisfied, gives you more energy, and a trimmer waistline. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Cates Dancer, registered nurse, nutritional counselor, and I see clients at our White Bear office and also our office in St. Paul. On Wednesday, I'm there now. I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and we just want you to know that we're having a conversation about menopause, and we help a lot of women with menopause get through the perimenopause and the menopausal times of their life. With zest, right? That's one of your favorite words,
yes.
Dar. And we have our special guest today. I'm so excited. Ann Louise Gettleman, nutritionist and author of 30 books, including her very popular book, The Fat Flush Plan. We've worked with her on that, haven't we, Dar?
We have.
But today, Ann Louise brings to the show her expertise in perimenopause and menopause, and she has a new book, Hot Times. And, Ann, in your book, Hot Times, you mentioned 55 to 70 million American women are menopausal. We have a menopausal woman running for the presidency this year. I bet if all the women in menopause got together, they could swing the vote. What do you think?
A bunch of Hot Times.
I don't know if that's a good thing. So there you go. Having said that, and knowing how volatile you can become during this time of life, I think it's very important. You know, before the break, we were talking about the zinc-copper ratio.
Right.
And you know what, Ann Louise, we have a caller on the line that has a question about that, so let's bring her on.
Okay, well, we'll plunge right in there, sure.
Okay. Sarah, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question about copper?
Yes. My question is, in certain liver conditions, copper is retained. Wilson's disease is only one. What is a good way to, other than just high zinc, to help the body reabsorb copper?
So, Ann Louise, were you able to hear that question?
I believe so, and that is that copper is retained in certain liver conditions. What's the best way to get rid of the copper?
Right.
Yeah. Number one of the best ways to get rid of the copper, of course, is to reduce your exposure to copper wherever you think it's coming from. So, yes, any copper supplement. So we have to check every single one of your supplements. A lot of women become very copper toxic and therefore suffer from a postpartum depression because they're still on their prenatal vitamins, which usually contains about 4 milligrams of copper. So you check those levels. I created a copper-free multiple just for these reasons. So that's A. B, the copper antagonists and the chelators that I think are the most important are vitamin C, number one. I would do 1 to 3 or even 4 grams a day. Extra vitamin B6 with your entire B complex would be very important. And magnesium, the magnesium that we were talking about, as well as zinc, I think is very important. Now, there's a trace mineral called molybdenum. It's a very strange mineral because of the way it sounds, but molybdenum also has a very, very strong affinity to copper. Beyond all of those things, taking food substances that are sources of sulfur are also very important. So that would mean to up your increase certain foods. I like onions in that regard, maybe a little extra garlic. And by all means, keep away from the copper-rich foods to begin with. And that would be excessive amounts of soy. And listen to this one. Chocolate, yeah. Chocolate is a huge, it's not just a source of magnesium, and it's not even, I don't think, one of the greatest. But it's a very high source of copper, so that copper is found in very popular foods that we are now making, you know, to be the okay foods. And tea, very high source in tea, except for certain herbal teas. So you got to really do an inventory of everything. I would do, number one, a hair analysis. Do a tissue mineral test, because it's one of the least invasive ways of figuring out what's going on with your ratios, and then there is an actual mineral test that will really tell the tale. But it's a big deal. Nobody's talking about it. Copper is to our generation what lead was to the fall of the Roman Empire. How do you like that?
Wow.
Very, very important. Very interesting. You know, so you take a look at some of the ways that some people are eating. They're eating a lot of soy. And they're, you know, they're trying to be vegetarian. They're eating a lot of soy. They're eating a lot of chocolate because they're hungry all the time.
And we've made it okay, Dar, because we say that the darker the chocolate, the higher the antioxidants. And you got these so-called nutrition experts touting it. But believe me, it is a source of certain elements that you do not want in your diet. Not if you're doing your hair analysis and testing the way you and I do.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Great answer.
Wow. Yeah, that is.
You know, it's just amazing the imbalances that can occur that people don't even realize.
And Ann, can you talk more about the symptoms of copper toxicity.
Yeah, I have them all, I can tell you.
Okay.
I have them all, wrote the book, I'm a copperhead. here are the symptoms, ladies, and you don't even have to be in perimenopause or menopause. Chronic fatigue, anxiety, huge anxiety, insomnia, skin problems, frequent colds, I would guess roller coaster emotions. All of these things are very much part and parcel of copper toxicity. My goodness. You know, another problem with copper is when you start losing your hair. Copper has an affinity to certain protein bonds, so we've got problems there as well.
Wow.
Amazing. So, you know what, Anne Louise, I think it's time we're going to have to take a quick break. You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. It's brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company that specializes in therapeutic nutrition in life-changing nutritional classes. Many women during perimenopause and menopause are prescribed antidepressants, you know, to reduce symptoms of hot flashes, mood swings, and anxiety. You know, a very interesting piece of research was published this past week in the New England Journal of Medicine, and they found that antidepressants were slightly more beneficial for depression than a placebo pill. And we know what placebos are, aren't they?
Yeah,
they're
sugar.
Just sugar pills. So it's interesting. If you have questions for us today, give us a call at 651-641-1071, and we'll be back in a minute.
Anna recently took the 6-week weight and wellness class from Nutritional Weight and Wellness. Anna, how are these classes unique?
First of all, the weight and wellness approach is based on real food, not on counting calories or on gimmicks like energy bars or weight loss drinks. Instead, the classes gave me the knowledge to make real food choices.
How has the weight and wellness class made a difference in your life?
In this short time, I've seen huge improvements. My energy's increased. My night sweats and hot flashes disappeared. And even though I was eating more food than ever, especially fat, I lost 5 pounds in 4 weeks.
Wow. It sounds like the Weight and Wellness series has really improved your life.
Definitely. Nutritional Weight and Wellness has helped me take charge of my health. What could be better than that?
Classes start soon. Call Nutritional Weight and Wellness at 651-699-3438 or go to weightandwellness.com.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We're here with our special guest, Anne Louise Gettleman, nutritionist and author of Hot Times, a book offering nutritional solutions to menopausal symptoms. If you are experiencing hot flashes, sleepless nights, mood swings, or weight gain, we can help. Give us a call at 651-641-1071 for a solution.
Or, you know, if you're a little shy about calling and you want to talk about your symptoms in private, Wendy and I... we can help women get individual solutions to your symptoms. You know, hot flashes are usually under control in a couple of weeks. And honestly, I haven't found a sleep problem that I haven't been able to solve yet. So menopause symptoms all have a nutritional solution. And we'd like to help you make these years the best years that you've ever had. You know, a two-hour consultation can be your answer. I believe for many it may be a new thought that nutrition can and will stop hot flashes, balance moods, support metabolism. So if you want to make an appointment, just call us at 651-699-3438, and Anna or Hannah will answer the phone. And
oh, okay, Hannah's
right
there today.
Yep,
hi, Hannah. So we're having a big conversation about sleep, and which is a huge issue for people in menopause. And, you know, Dar, we always recommend a bedtime snack that contains sufficient beneficial fats, you know, like a salmon salad, an avocado, or an apple with some almond butter to help balance that blood sugar.
And one of the other things, I know we want to talk a little bit about the use of progesterone cream, but, you know, Wendy, we've got lots of callers
on
the line.
Okay. And
so I think what we're going to do is just take some callers.
Okay.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today? I think we'll go to the next line here. We'll just... Patricia, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for us today?
Yes, I have a question on cholesterol and menopause.
Yes. We can answer that. What? Well, I... Should we have Ann answer that? Go ahead. What is your question?
I noticed that my cholesterol has risen a little bit since I've been in menopause, so I'm wondering if that's normal, or I also heard that high glycemic foods can increase your cholesterol.
I think there's a couple of different mechanisms that are working at this point, because we need fats and cholesterols to help make hormones. So when I work, I've noticed working with a lot of women in menopause that, yes, cholesterol counts often do go up because it's like your body is saying, hey, make some hormones. And so it does. And it's like it's your liver is producing a little more cholesterol to counteract the drop in the hormones. But then after a while, after you get into postmenopause, it usually drops down. Now, that's one thing. But, of course, if you're eating... you know, high sugar foods, that's making your liver make more cholesterol. So that's not good. So there's a lot of different mechanisms when you look at cholesterol. Ann Louise, do you have a different answer or any other answer for that?
I oftentimes find that women, and what cholesterol level are we talking about? Do you know your level?
Well, it's overall, it was 210, the combined numbers.
210 cholesterol.
Yeah.
So that is, your total cholesterol is 210, which is perfectly fine as far as I'm concerned.
I agree. Okay.
Yeah. Now, there is absolutely nothing to worry about. And to be quite honest with you, I think anything up to 220, 230 for many people is probably A-OK. I don't pay a lot of attention to cholesterol as much as for women I do triglycerides. That's number one. Number two, I agree with everything that Dar said, and I also find that very oftentimes when women are going through the change, their thyroid levels change. And when that starts to decrease in terms of hypothyroidism, cholesterol levels also go up. So it's nothing to be overly concerned about. I know that there are lots of good foods that you can be eating at this time. One of my favorites, of course, is the flax seeds, which will help to balance hormone levels, balance cholesterol, and also be very high in lignans, which is an anti-cancer food. So, my goodness, I think you're fine. I think you're absolutely fine. That level looks good. If your LDL is really high, then that's something else we need to chat about. And if your triglycerides are over 100 to 120, if it's over 120, then we need to talk about the carbohydrates that you're eating. That could be a concern.
Okay. Could I ask one more question about the hair analysis?
Sure. Sure.
Can you do that if you've been coloring your hair?
No.
Oh.
You can. I used to for years, and then I realized, oh, my God, I'm supposed to read the instructions. That's what happens when you're a copperhead. You just you can't, because what we want to assess is virgin hair. So you have to wait a little bit. You take an inch of hair from the nape of the neck, and whatever color that might be, and you send that in. It's something that is done. Does your office do that, Dar?
We can do that. Sure, we can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, then that's something you certainly can get through, Dar. I know with our office we've done it for years, and it's very, very helpful. To me, it is one of the most helpful tools that we have for assessing mineral balance and what's really going on in your system and where elements of toxicity could be coming from that is throwing your whole system off. So I would definitely take advantage of that, as well as every other blood test and salivary hormone test, perhaps, that, you know, is now available to us.
Okay.
So thank you very much for the question, and we're going to take another quick break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition and life-changing nutrition education. If you're experiencing mood swings, the first step is to reduce processed carbohydrates and start eating real protein, eggs, meat, fish, real fats, nuts, olives, olive oil, and butter. So questions today for Ann Louise or for Wendy, give us a call at 651-641-1071.
Looking for a speaker for your next meeting, conference, or education hour? How about a topic that affects your audience both professionally and personally? Health and nutrition resonate on many levels because all of us want to look and feel our best. Nutrition educators from Nutritional Weight and Wellness address groups of all sizes on topics varying from Nutrition 101 to increasing metabolism, balancing moods, hormonal health, and restful sleep. Presentations range from 1 hour to full-day seminars and can be tailored to your group's interests. What can you expect? Sound information with real-life examples, making the topic accessible and relevant to your group. Motivating, interactive presentation styles that engage the audience. Handouts and takeaway strategies for practical application and ongoing impact. Nutritional Weight and Wellness delivers information that makes a difference in people's lives by changing the way people think about food. Enthusiastic audience responses often result in return appearances to explore other topics. Call 651-699-3438 to learn more about booking a nutrition educator for your next meeting or event. 651-699-3438.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Wendy Kate Stancer, registered nurse, nutritional counselor, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Ann Louise Gettleman, nutritionist and author of 30 books. Today we are discussing menopause and her book, Hot Times.
And we have been talking about the different problems that people might experience or the different deficiencies people may have and the reasons that they may not be able to sleep. And I think one of the things that we've talked about is, you know, increasing the magnesium, getting that copper level maybe reduced in your system, also looking at getting a balanced snack before you go to bed. And the third or fourth thing that we really wanted to talk a little bit about is helping get the hormones balanced, you know, get the estrogen and progesterone balanced a little bit. So we want to have a little discussion about the use of progesterone, Ann Louise.
You know, that's it's such a wonderful uncovery, you know, the concept that there isn't just one hormone that's associated with menopause, but that there are actually two that do a balancing act, very similar to the copper and zinc that we were talking about. And by the way, zinc is closely associated with progesterone, and copper is closely assessed and closely associated with estrogen.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So the reality is that what we want to see is we want to see a balance of the best of both worlds, and we find that a lot of people find themselves in a condition known as estrogen dominance. And I'm sure that if you're suffering from any of these conditions that we've spoken about, the hot flashes, the night sweats, the insomnia, the racing mind, the inability, of course, to sleep throughout the night, maybe frequent colds, roller coaster emotions, and anxiety, then you're going to want to make sure that your hormones are in balance. One of the easiest ways to do that, of course, is to try a trial sample of the progesterone cream, a topical cream that bypasses the liver. You need about 20 milligrams a day, which is what physiologically your body is going to make. And sometimes a lot of these symptoms go away. Of all the, you know, the tricks up my sleeve that I've learned over these many, many years, the use of topical progesterone is a calming agent. It acts as an antidepressant. And for women that are growing hair on their faces or are losing hair around, you know, the typical receding hairline, this is one of the things that can help bring it back. So clearly this balance is incredibly important, whether or not you have your ovaries or not, because
exactly.
There's a lot to be said for progesterone that goes far beyond just the reproductive organs.
You know, I think one of the things that people don't realize, Ann Louise, that we, as we get older, we're not making progesterone, are we?
Well, we're not making progesterone, first of all, because we're not ovulating. And even when we have periods, we may not be ovulating.
People are not ovulating when they're on birth control pills, are they?
No, for whatever reason. And a lot of times it's not just birth control that they're on birth control pills in this day and age.
That's right.
So the reality is that we've got a problem here. We're fooling around with Mother Nature in a very natural process. So it means that we need to up our nutrition. That's where zinc and B6 come in handy, because they do act as precursors for natural progesterone. And, you know, you need your progesterone to deal with stress. It is the precursor to cortisol. So if you don't have enough progesterone, you're not going to be handling stress the way you'd like. You may be suffering from burnout in some facet. And getting a little topical dose, you know, a quarter teaspoon in a little subdermal cream, I think will go a long way.
And it's actually been used for like 40 or 50 years now, hasn't it, Annalise?
It's been used for many years, and men use it, by the way. It's a protective mechanism against prostate cancer.
Yeah. Is there a certain kind we should get, Annalise?
Well, I have my own kind, so that's
we know that. Yes,
and we have
great.
That at our office. So we have.
You should get a kind that's like mine.
Yes.
Because, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, and I don't know what you have at your clinic, but the reality
we have yours,
is,
and we have.
Well,
yep.
It's the reason Progestakey was created is because it doesn't have any chemicals added to it the way a lot of other products do on the market.
That's right, and that's why we have yours.
Yeah, well, I'm very sensitive, so if I'm going to use it and talk about it, it has to be pure, and I don't want anybody else exposed to parabens or exposed to any types of chemicals that really can be absorbed through the skin and do harm to the liver and to the kidneys. So,
Annalise, let's talk. We have like four or five people on the line that wants
so
to talk to you.
Busy this
so,
morning.
Yes, definitely. So, Vicki, welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You have a question for Annalise? Vicki? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Tricia.
Tricia.
I'm sorry. I looked at the name wrong. Tricia?
Yes. Some references were made earlier about drinking tea that sometimes that could have some...
higher copper in it?
Yes. And
yes.
I wanted to know, is there a specific herbal tea that is better, and then what tea would not be good to have, because there's been a lot on green teas and black teas that you should be drinking.
So, Annalise, did you hear the question?
No.
On...
Would you quickly repeat it?
Yes.
I didn't. It sounded interesting.
Okay. What teas would be safe to drink that would not have high copper, and which teas are higher in copper?
It's the traditional dark teas, you know, the black teas that are higher in copper. So the best teas would be herbal teas. The ones that I like would be even like a dandelion root tea would be excellent. It's very high in potassium. You might want to take anything from the red teas that are made from some of the high vitamin C products. I remember Celestial Seasonings years ago had a Constant Comet, something like that, on the market. It's a red tea. African honeybush tea, very good.
Oh, I love that tea.
And Rubios, very good.
Okay. What about green tea?
Yeah, what about green tea?
I don't like green tea, so that's a whole topic.
Oh, okay.
you don't like it?
No, because I had to do an endorsement for a book that had a whole investigative report from some very qualified sources about the type of fluoride that's found in green tea, and it's not healthy fluoride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
There you go.
Okay. So should we take another caller? Let's
Why
do that.
Why not? If
okay.
A quick question.
Yes, okay.
A quick question.
Hi, Vicki. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Yeah, I had a question about the copper also, and what I was wondering was I use a moisturizer that has copper in it, and I've heard that copper is supposed to be good for your skin.
Yeah.
Is that something that's getting absorbed also?
The copper peptides that you're talking about are quite different. They really don't go beyond the dermis level of the skin. No, that's actually quite healthful. We're
okay.
talking about excessive amounts of copper from environmental sources that are not biologically sound. So I wouldn't worry about what you're doing with your skin, but you need to be more concerned about, you know, what's in your teeth, the copper IUDs, the cup of coffee that you might be taking, or, you know, whether you have copper water pipes and so forth.
Yeah. Well, I do drink a lot of green tea, but I buy an organic green tea.
I don't think that makes a difference based upon this research that I reviewed. So you know what I would like you to do, just for, you know, for kicks, try it on for size and see if you like it. This African honeybush tea that we're talking about, or the Rubios,
mm-hmm.
I know is a pretty healthy source of lots of antioxidants.
Okay.
More so than some of the green teas even. So you might want to switch off and see what that does for you.
Okay, and this African honeybush tea, you can
get
that like
it's a great substitute
something?
For coffee.
I think you can buy it in a lot of different
yes,
places.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain brand or no?
I don't remember that one.
Okay. Yeah.
So look around for it, and we do have to take another break. You're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company specializing in therapeutic nutrition and life-changing education. A little-known fact is we need cholesterol and good fats to make hormones. From a clinical observation, I find at menopause, often women's cholesterol numbers will increase to support more hormone production, and then when a woman reaches postmenopause, the cholesterol numbers will normalize very naturally. It's kind of interesting. Our bodies seem to know best. So if you have questions today about menopause, our number is 651-641-1071.
Ever find yourself asking, where did I leave my keys this time? How could I have forgotten that appointment? How will I ever get all this work done when I can't concentrate? Do you ever feel overloaded, like your mind can't keep pace with your life? We expect an awful lot of ourselves. No wonder our brains seem to shut down at times from information overload. Good mental functioning requires essential nutrients, especially good fats and protein. A diet high in processed foods and refined carbohydrates can leave you feeling scattered, forgetful, and mentally fatigued. You can improve your mental functioning simply by changing the way you eat. Nutritional Weight and Wellness offers classes and individual consultations that explain how balanced eating supports memory, creativity, focus, and moods. You will learn which breakfast foods give you a power-packed start to your day, along with how to eat for long-term brain health. For information about classes or individual consultations, call 651-699-3438 or visit weightandwellness.com. Office is conveniently located in St. Paul, Wayzata, and White Bear Lake.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. We hope you found us at our new time, 12 noon. And we invite you to have lunch with us next Saturday. We have enjoyed meeting and talking with Ann Louise Gettleman. She's a nutritionist that has helped change the health of thousands of people through her very readable
and, I really
and popular books.
Yes, and I really want to thank Ann Louise today for being a guest and for her drive to educate people in the area of nutrition and for being a mentor to me, inspiring me to even be a better nutritional healer. Mm-hmm. And Ann Louise, you know, we have lots and lots. We have probably 10 callers on the lines, but I mean, we're never going to be able to get to everyone. First of all, how can people get your books? Besides come to our office, we have quite a few of them at our office, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Well, that's the first thing to do, or to go to AnnLouise.com, look in our store. I know we give a little discount if you're on our forum. So AnnLouise.com or go to Dar's store. That's number one. You can also go to Amazon. I get a great deal at Amazon. And, you know, if you've got other questions and we can assist you and do any, you know, interrelating with what Dar is doing, please visit us on the forum. And if you've got questions specifically about the books, I know that Dar carries several of our products. We can make those recommendations to you at the forum, which is our 24/7 support system for all you ladies out there that,
great,
that want support and friendship. Yeah.
You know, our whole weight and wellness series, Ann Louise, I think really started when I read your first book, Beyond Pritikin.
Oh,
and that was your very, I always think that that was your best, you know.
Yeah, that was the one. After I wrote that book, I said, wow, it takes so much out of you. I could never write a book again. That was 29 books ago. Thank you for that. I think the information that was written then is just as applicable now, don't you think?
I agree.
So should we take one more caller? Let's see if we can take one more caller.
All right. Sounds good.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you.
And your question for us today?
Well, related to bones,
yes.
If with vitamin D3, if you're not able to synthesize or convert it in the liver, if you can't take in the fish oil-based D3, is there another way to get D3 in, such as transderm?
That's a very good question.
You're talking about not being able to transform D3?
Right, that was her question. If you're not able to.
You know, there are emulsified versions of D3.
And we have some of it at our office.
Many people that have, you know, problems in metabolism can use. And let me tell you, the latest information about D3, we could do a whole show about that.
Yes, we could.
And we actually do have a show coming up in a month on D3. Well, and on vitamin D.
I'll save the punchline for that or tell you about that, you know, offline. But the reality is it's exceedingly important.
Right.
Yeah.
Good question. I guess that's one we'll have to kind of...
The emulsified version of D3 would be the best way to go, I would think.
I would think so, too. So I hope that answered your question.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. And Anne Louise, just for the last couple of minutes, let's go back to that book, you know, your very first about fatty acids, because it is, because, you know, what is it, 65 to 70% of the people gain weight at menopause time. And so I always look at the first line of defense has to be taking in some fatty acids. So
yeah.
Let's just visit a little bit about the different kinds of fatty acids that we might have, like omega-3s and even, you know, omega-6 GLA, if we've got a couple of minutes here.
So you're going to want to get an omega-3 and an omega-6. Your best sources of omega-3s would be the ground-up flax seeds, fish
like
oil, and maybe a combination of hemp oil to some degree, too, but it isn't a primary source of the omega-3s. The omega-6s, we like borage, we like black currant, and we like evening primrose oil. And maybe a little bit of the CLA, which isn't essential, but it is a critical fatty acid. So it's usually one or the other, you know, that people need. You can do blood tests to figure out which is which. But I, this time of the year, because your constituency is farther up there, you know, past the equator, you got to get more vitamin D into the diet. So a little cod liver oil, then you get your EPA and your DHA from the fish.
Right. And then probably a little bit more EPA, DHA for people who have more insulin resistance.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
yeah, very much so.
And then, well, here we go.
And there's the music.
There's the music. Thank you so much, Anne Louise. It's been great having you on the show.
And remember,
thank you for having me, ladies.
The magic within you is real food.
Real food.
And thank you for listening today.
Life, I love you. All is groovy. Ba da ba ba da ba 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 da 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 da.